It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you for joining us. You each are treasured, valued. You have a purpose today. Live with intention and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Strive for excellence. Thank you to the team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And happy Friday to you, producer Steve.
Yes, we waited all week for it, but here it is.
You love your weekends. You love your week. I love my weekends, too. In studio with me is one of my sponsors, a good friend of mine, Karen Levine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and you are a sponsor of both of our shows, The Kim Munson Show, as well as America's Veteran Stories. It's great to have you here, Karen.
Well, thanks for having me. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I've been thinking a lot about our conversation. We'll be talking with another colleague of yours that she'll be joining us in the third and fourth segment, Lee Brown. She's a realtor in North Carolina. But there's a new word that's come to me, and that is the velocity of housing. There seems to be, I don't want to say this is a robust market because the supply is so limited. And because the supply is limited, we don't have the velocity of housing, of young people being able to buy a condo and then moving up to a single family home. Public policy has really kind of shut that down, Karen.
It has in many ways, and I'm anxious to hear Lee's perspective with regards to supply in other parts of the country, her being North Carolina. But what we have found, and you and I have chatted about it, is the state of Colorado over a decade ago put into place what was called construction defect legislation, which retracted our supply because it made it difficult for developers and builders to bring a product out of the ground that was affordable due to obtaining insurance to protect themselves. So they chose to leave our marketplace. But what's curious to me is they didn't go to any other marketplace because there is a shortage of that type of housing nationwide.
So and that's condo development.
Yeah.
And it's public policy. And so it's going to be a really fascinating conversation. And when we get to the second segment, you'll give us an update on what is happening here in Colorado. But I think from a public policy standpoint, and it's taken us a while to figure out what's happened on this.
Right. This has not happened overnight. It's probably been a couple decade transition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to share a quote that's very prevalent.
I think let's get right over to that. And that is James Madison. And you know him. I didn't know he was a junior. James Madison Jr.
Oh.
But he was an American statesman, diplomat, expansionist, philosopher, and founding father who served as the fourth president of the United States from 1809 to 1817. He is hailed as the father of the Constitution for his pivotal role in drafting and promoting the Constitution of the United States. He was born in 1751. He died in 1836.
You knew him in high school, right?
Oh, bada boom.
Nicely done, Steve.
You've been waiting for that one, haven't you?
All morning long.
Well, and James Madison, wasn't he prolific in writing much of the
Federalist Papers.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that because of Vino and Veritas.
Exactly. You know, we had to get into that a couple years ago.
That's for sure. This is what he said, though. In a word, as a man is said to have a right in his property, he may be equally said to have a property in his rights. Where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. Where there is an excess of liberty, the effect is the same, though from the opposite cause. That's pretty heavy stuff.
Pretty prolific. And I would say what's interesting is he said that sometime in the 1800s, and
yeah.
It's very relevant today.
It really is, and because when we talk about public policy really is power. And I was thinking about this also. We've had this quote. We talk about these issues, search for truth and clarity, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to use force to do that. Socialism is not about free stuff. That's the carrot to get people to vote for it. Socialism is all about force, and it moves you towards communism. But I've added a new one in here, and that is, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or government-induced inflation. That is also a form of a force, of taking people's property and their rights. Because when we've had Jay Davidson on, Karen, inflation, there's good inflation. And I talked with Helen Raleigh about this as well. There's good inflation, and that's you have a robust economy. People, their incomes are growing.
They're consuming products.
They're consuming. There's demand. And then there's the bad kind of inflation, such as what we've seen, close down the Keystone Pipeline, close down oil and gas exploration on the Arctic Refuge, limit new exploration on federal lands, and you see your energy prices go up 50%. That is government basically, because it costs you more to heat your homes, to travel, and that is a government-induced theft, if you will.
Can I comment here?
Sure.
We all heard the phrase, a canary in a coal mine, right?
Mm-hmm. And the simple... Doesn't that come from a song?
Karen, come on. Get in the game here. And the thing is that they would actually take canaries into coal mines, and as long as the canary was alive, things were fine. But if they looked at the cage and the canary was dead, that meant the presence of natural gas. This list that you just now went down is growing.
It is growing.
And they used to only have three components to it. Now I think there's five or six.
Yeah.
So, hey.
Does lumber fall in that list?
Oh, lumber's up, over 100%, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. A sheet of plywood, this was now 6-8 weeks ago, was $76.
That's unbelievable. And once again, we saw government got involved and closed down the lumber industry.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
said the other day, do we have a shortage of trees?
Good point. Very good point. The show, we search for truth and clarity for these issues. And I appreciate each and every one of you who contribute at kimmunson.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And of course, another way that we are on the air is these great sponsors like Karen Levine that is in studio. And we'll be talking more about that. And another great sponsor is Hal Van Herkey.
And on the line with me is one of our valued sponsors. They're all valued sponsors, but that is Hal Van Herkey with Castlegate Knife and Tool. It's a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And they have a wide selection of knives and tools, but knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And Hal Van Herkey has a real heart for small businesses, but one of the other things is he is a veteran. And Hal Van Herkey, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Kim. Glad to be back on as usual.
Now, Hal, we have not talked since Memorial Day, and you were doing something so special with the National Honor Tour, and that was playing taps out at Fort Logan. How did that go?
It went extremely well. I know that I personally played taps at over the 3-day weekend. I think I played taps for 172 or 175 individual families and grave sites and services. Our other bugler, Mark Stallings, who founded the National Honor Tour, played maybe twice that many. So the overall impact is that we spent 3 days out at Fort Logan, rain or shine, meeting with families, respecting their family sacrifice and their loved ones by playing taps by their graveside. A lot of hugs, a lot of crying, a lot of comforting, and a lot of bonding with veterans that were there, et cetera. So it was a very emotional and moving and, in our case, physically exhausting experience.
Oh, I'm sure.
But very, very good. Yep.
will bless you for doing that. And you don't just give lip service, no pun intended, since you played tap so many times. But you also offer at Castlegate Knife and Tool every day, all day long, a discount to our veterans and our military and our first responders, because you revere what they're willing to do for our country and our citizens.
Yeah, I just, it's not only about the contribution that they've made, but I honestly do feel like our veterans, our first responders, prior service military, et cetera, current active military, are a unique class of people that are willing to put their lives on the line to keep our society free and safe on a daily basis. And so not only do we respect the job that they do, but we respect them as individuals. We offer a 10% discount across the board on anything we have, you know, every day of the year. And so that's just one of the things we do. Also support and donate to a number of organizations that are impacting, you know, veterans and military-related issues, et cetera.
Well, and Father's Day is right around the corner, and Castlegate Knife and Tool is the perfect place to get that Father's Day gift, whether or not your father is a chef or a sportsman or a collector. Obviously, you have knives, tools. You've got these custom rifles. You're getting into a couple of different lines of watches. And so it's the perfect place to do your shopping for Father's Day, Hal.
Yeah, and we're still scrambling around, probably put together some kind of a small intimate event or something with that might involve free knife sharpening, might involve free beer, a few other things like that on not actually on Father's Day, because we want people to be able to spend their time with their family, but maybe the day before Father's Day, so Father's Appreciation Day.
Oh, we love that. Well, keep us in the loop on that. Let's jump over to the legislative session just ended here in Colorado. Big damage, big negative damage to individuals, to small business. What's your thoughts about this legislative session? Because small business is something that you really advocate for, Hal.
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of big takeaways, and one of the ones is just the overwhelming amount of government that Democrats in this country are willing to impose on the citizenry on a daily basis. We had well over 600 bills introduced in just this session alone. And that's just one layer of your government. That's just the state government. That doesn't include the federal government, all the federal bureaucracies passing regulations that aren't voted on. It doesn't include your local governments, et cetera. So the first takeaway was just a stunning amount of volume of the legislation they would love to pass to regulate every aspect of your life, mm-hmm. from the most inane to the most personal. So that's one big factor. And it all adds up, and every one of those bills limits freedom. Every one of those bills causes confusion. Every one of those bills causes additional money for the government to fund, enforce, and regulate those new bills that are passed. So that's one just huge takeaway. A couple of other areas is our taxes are going to go up. You know, they were looking for every possible way that they could find to increase property taxes, increase sales taxes, increase taxes on small business, anything they could do to get around, you know, the laws we have in Colorado to reduce the rate we can grow government. So that was a big trend throughout the session. Gun control was a big trend throughout the session, at least three different bills on gun control. The one that I disliked the most on those was the one that puts public funding into creating a propaganda office within the state office to promote the gun control agenda. They call it a dedicated office for gun violence prevention, but really, even in the bill, you can see that gun violence prevention is gun confiscation in their mind. Health insurance, state health insurance fund, if passed as any kind of indication, that's going to be a disaster for everybody, including small business, that'll have to put a lot of the bill. You know, just on and on and on. So it was just kind of no stone left unturned in terms of what we might regulate, what we could regulate, and what we'd like to regulate. So,
yeah, it really has been a negative time for everyday hardworking people in Colorado. But we are moving forward. We've got to work on the 2022 election. We need to be more involved. And I know that you do this. You said know your city councilmen and know your county commissioners. And we need to certainly be working at that. So Hal Van Herky, I so appreciate you and Linnea being partners of the show. And you're also a sponsor of America's Veteran Story Show as well. And people can get more information at castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. And I'd recommend that people take a little trip down to Sedalia. I love it there, and actually visit the store. So Hal Van Herky, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. In studio with me is a valued partner. All my partners are valued at the Kim Munson Show, but Karen Levine is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. We're talking a lot about real estate. Well, you're on the National Association of Realtors board, and one of your colleagues, Lee Brown from North Carolina, is going to join us in the third and fourth segment. What is happening here in Colorado, though, right now in the Front Range?
Well, statewide, it's pretty statewide condition, which is we continue to talk about the fact that we are low on inventory. But what's exciting is that the people of Colorado understand the value of home ownership, and we're selling more houses. So we sold more houses in May, this May, than we sold last May. Last May, we were sort of in the middle of a quarantine pandemic. And obviously, there were a lot of rules that kept us from being able to engage in real estate as we had been. But then those rules got a little bit more open to business as we moved into June and July. But with that said, I think it was on the news earlier this week that the average home price had hit close to $700,000, which is, you know, it's crazy, and that makes affordability a challenge, which I'm hoping Lee will address some of the things that the National Association of Realtors are trying to look at with regards to bringing affordable product to the marketplace. And you and I have had a couple conversations of our concern about when you incentivize some of these programs, incentive benefits a group of people, but it will ultimately harm another group of people. So having that conversation, I think, is important. We're excited that we've had a really strong year. We're the realtor community is very active as far as making sure they're meeting the needs of buyers and sellers. I caution sellers that it's important that they have a professional on their side, because there's a lot of shenanigans also going on out there.
That happens.
Yeah.
Yes.
When the market is really good for one side or the other, people get taken advantage of. So it's important that they look to a professional to make sure they know what their choices are. And as a realtor, which is a member of the National Association of Realtors, not all licensees in the state of Colorado are realtors, but we ascribe to a code of ethics which says we advocate for our client, but we also treat everyone honestly and fairly. And that's an important piece when there's a lot of different options out there for the consumer, mm-hmm. to make sure they know what those choices are.
Well, it really is important. And you and I know you and can highly endorse you and would recommend if people are considering buying or selling their home to give you a call. That phone number is 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. Karen, here in Denver, there's a couple of things going on, and this is via Westward. The City Council of Denver passed a group living ordinance, I think it is, And now there's going to be, I guess it's they call it an amendment. In November, there's going to be on the ballot a repeal of that. And we were talking during the break a little bit about that. And group living, I think that there are those that live in their single family neighborhoods and are concerned. So you can have up to five unrelated people live in a house. First of all, you kind of have to wonder, why was government first saying how many people could live in a house, right? But then Patty had mentioned that it wasn't just five unrelated people, but that those five people could have family members. So the concern is that you, in your single family neighborhood, have, you know, a whole bunch of people living in a house, whole bunch of cars, which that's not really being a good neighbor. But the freedom versus force, I mean, I'm really struggling with it.
Well, and it's an important conversation. And the conversation happened in Lakewood many, many years ago when Colorado Christian College had a lot of students that were living in single family homes. And it happens in college communities throughout mm-hmm. the United States, where I'm sure there are five unrelated students that live in a single family home. They rent that home together mm-hmm. and they spread the cost out. And I think what's scary, or what we need to be aware of and mindful of, is the fact that when we impose whatever those restrictions are, whatever those policies are, whether narrow or broad, who do they harm and who do they benefit? Mm-hmm. And again, it's that force versus freedom situation. If I, as a homeowner, feel I'm very comfortable renting to five unrelated students, should I not, as a private property owner, have that right to do that with my single family home? Mm-hmm. But then the neighbor may feel that's not my right because maybe those five students aren't good tenants. So you have this balance imbalance. And Denver had a policy in place that you could only have two unrelated. Well, in that regard, that was restricting some of the private property rights of some of the homeowners, right? Mm-hmm. But then the neighbors are like, well, we don't want that expanded. The conversation came to the Denver Metro Association of Realtors, which is the local realtor association that keeps an eye on Metro Denver's different counties and different cities. And it was a much broader group living policy. And we tried to negotiate, you know, something that seemed more reasonable. Mm-hmm. And apparently this citizen doesn't feel it's reasonable and that she's being harmed. And so they're getting it back on the ballot. Mm-hmm. But you and I talked about the citizens of Denver elected those council people mm-hmm. who are making these decisions. And this was, what was it, an 11-2 vote?
Yes.
So the majority felt it was a good move for the citizens of Denver. Mm-hmm. So again, be careful who you vote for. You know, be mindful, you know, be knowledgeable about who you're voting for. And is that where you want your community to go?
Okay, and so one other thing, and that's so important that we realize we have a civic duty, and we've really abdicated that for a long time here in America. And we have a civic duty to understand the principles and understand who is on the ballot and what they stand for. Of course, politics, we see some of these politicians say one thing and they get into office and do another thing. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned this registering investment property that mm-hmm. just passed here in Denver. Really, is that government's business?
Well, that was sort of my attitude about it. When we had the chair of the city council on our call for government affairs committee, I kept saying I thought it was private property rights and that I own this property, and why do you need to know what I'm doing with it? And they want to know what we're doing with it so that they can utilize it for their benefit, whether that's taxing that homeowner, you know, whether that's feeing that homeowner, imposing things on it, which this particular policy will impose inspections of that property. And certainly we want housing to be safe for people. But again, I say, as a tenant, when you move in, if the house is not safe, move out.
Right.
You have choice. And sometimes we seem to think it's the landlord's duty to make it safe, which it should be safe. I mean, safe housing. But I can speak with my dollars, which is my rent dollars as a tenant, mm-hmm. and I can say, you know what? It's not a safe environment. You haven't upheld your side of the contract. I'm leaving. Uh-huh. But instead, we get government involved, and I think citizens need to understand there's a cost every time you do that.
Right.
It causes your rents to go up.
When we talk about affordable housing, when you look at all of the rules and regulations that is imposed on housing, I would submit that it probably is at least 10 to 15% of the cost of a house.
Oh, exactly. I think we have said at the National Association of Realtors, it can be public policy and the effects of taxation, et cetera, can be up to 45% of the cost of bringing a house out of the ground. So that affects affordability.
So if we really are serious about affordable housing, or, and I like to maybe change it, housing affordability, mm-hmm. then we should get government out of the way. But then they lose their control. And they want to, they, meaning politicians, bureaucrats, mm-hmm. and interested parties, they have this idea what housing should be like, that you should live 15 minutes away from your where you work. Wait a minute. How about if I choose, right?
Right. Choice. So. Well, and it might be interesting down the road to have my business partner, Amanda, come back. She's putting together the 10 reasons why the housing supply is so decreased nationwide. And I have not heard all 10 reasons yet.
Oh, we'll have to do a show on that as well. So Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance, let's go to break. Before we do that, though, another great partner of both my shows is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations. That is Westminster, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. Great place to get together with friends and watch the games. Unfortunately, the Avalanche lost last night.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. It was very sad.
I'm sad about it.
Yeah.
But Hooters Restaurants is a great place to get together with friends. They have Kids Eat Free specials on Saturdays, happy hour specials to go dine in. They have these great smoked wings, half the calories. When the girls come over, they love them, Karen.
They were really good on Wednesday night.
They were really good.
Were they different? I don't know. They were just quite tasty.
Exceptionally good.
So, exceptionally.
Yeah. So check that out. We're going to go to break. Karen Levine is in studio. We'll be talking with her colleague, Lee Brown, who is on the National Association Board of Realtors. She's a director there as well, to talk about housing nationwide. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support the show. I greatly appreciate that as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. In studio with me is one of my great valued partners, and that's Karen Levine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And you are on the National Association Board of Realtors. Mm-hmm. As a director, and you have introduced us to Lee Brown. She is also on the National Association Board of Realtors director, and she's over in the government affairs.
She's in advocacy.
And advocacy. So, Lee Brown, you are a very successful realtor in North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with y'all this morning. And by the way, Kim, thank you for your service to the association. It doesn't run well once we have people from around the country, especially those of us that like to fight for the American dream and enjoy the challenge.
Well, yeah, I appreciate both what you are doing and what Karen is doing, Lee, for sure. Lee, as we have, Karen and I have really over the years kind of watched the real estate market. I served on city council in my town from 2012 to 2016, and I started to realize that public policy has been very involved in housing, and that there's been this movement to push people into apartments, and as it's, I think it's really affected the housing stock nationwide, because we are seeing houses sell for above the asking price here in Colorado. Public policy has been very involved in that, Lee.
Well, if you think about it, housing policy topics are just not sexy. The mainstream media is never going to talk about it. Any elected official or candidate for public office who talks about public policy is pretty much ignored, because that's just not going to get people's blood pressure up until decisions are made that really impact the day-to-day neighbor's life. You mentioned the number of people that are in rentals. If you look at what has happened in the last decade, and it was emerging out of the last recession, hedge funds have been buying real estate, BlackRock being one of the most prominent. And I'm not, you know, casting stones at them, but they are gigantic, and they own thousands and thousands of houses. So when we're in an inventory crisis like we're in right now, where there's just not enough housing stock, those guys have access to money that your neighbors don't have. So they come in and they can bid whatever they want to bid, add to their portfolio, turn around and rent it out. Our elected officials look at this as, oh, well, they're paying property taxes, so no big deal. But they forget that it's your neighbors who live in a community who really are impactful over the long haul, with activities in public schools and in civic organizations, taking care of the upkeep on a property, increasing values, getting to know neighbors. And not that some tenants don't do the same thing, but most tenants just don't have the long-term mindset. So when you think about the long-term mindset and the fact that these issues are not sexy, it's hard for realtors to get voters excited about these things. So we do wind up carrying the load ourselves, because we know there's no National Association of Homeowners. And if we as realtors don't speak up, there's not going to be a voice at the table to handle what the bureaucrats think sounds good.
Well, and Karen, what I've also seen, though, is that many times in the associations that younger people that have come out of public administration programs in colleges have come out not understanding the value of home ownership. And so I think that we've seen actually associations that, and it could be, you know, many different industries that are actually not quite understanding initially what was happening, and being influenced by staff. Any comments on that?
Well, and I'd love Lee to chime in on this. As I walked through 2 weeks of legislative meetings and we're listening to the topics coming up and the speakers that came in to talk to us, and everything was done virtually, I was finding that coming somewhat from the staff level was a lot of conversation of urbanization, of, you talked about the 15-minute neighborhood that we're able to get to our jobs, to our doctors, to our shopping, et cetera, within 15 minutes. And then the other conversation, which was among the realtor members and hearing from consumers, was the development and continuation of suburbia and lovely communities like Lee talked about, where we are involved civically, where we're taking care of our neighbors and building that, and that we want to have housing where we want housing, which typically is more out. And yet I'm finding a lot of policy and tax dollars are going towards more urbanization. And I would love to hear kind of Lee's take on that as well.
What's your thoughts on that, Lee?
You know, there's a lot of things I really want to say that I have to filter myself a little bit, because I am an officer of the association. But there's definitely a bias toward the urban communities and the close-in suburban communities. But a lot of my neighbors are going towards the exurbs right now. They're going out. They want a little land. They want a little privacy. They don't want to have people on top of them. They don't want that 15-minute neighborhood. And I get a little frustrated when a topic comes up that is promoted as the absolute must-have, and this is what everybody wants, when the beauty of American real estate has always been there's something for everyone. And people have different desires and needs for their family structure, their future plans. Not everybody wants to live on top of other people. So I do get a little frustrated about that. I mean, I live on 10 acres. I should tell you that. I love having my 10 acres, my private water source, my whole house generator, and my parents can live in my basement in the future. So I look at this from multiple perspectives. Back to your original question about staff-driven decisions, the COVID era really has made that very evident. We already had staff that were definitely impactful on decisions, and I'm grateful because they have full-time focus on this, and realtors, I mean, we're spending time advising our neighbors on what to do with buying and selling, so we don't have 24/7 to pour into this, but the COVID era has allowed more decisions to come from the staff side than from the volunteer side, so we're working as volunteer members to reset that balance a little bit so that we're all hearing one another, whether you're in the trenches every day or you're focused on reading white papers every day.
Now, Lee, Karen and I have talked about here in Colorado, 12 years ago, you said, Karen, the mm-hmm. construction defects legislation was passed, which made it very difficult for developers to develop condo projects. And certainly we want to make sure that housing is safe, but what it opened up was in many times frivolous lawsuits against developers, and the insurance got so expensive that housing stock here in Colorado just disappeared. But Karen continues to say it's curious that other states don't have that legislation, but yet housing stock is also very limited, right, Karen?
That's what I'm hearing. So I was anxious to hear if Lee's seeing that same challenge, you know, in her part of the country.
Are you seeing that nationwide, Lee?
Well, part of the challenge that the condo piece has in general is financing. And for several years, because of the recession, so you think between 7 and 13, the number of defaults was high around the country. So you have limited options available for financing. And that falls into this time frame that you're looking at. So why would you build a building when you're going to be over-regulated on it and there's not financing available? So it becomes a more limited version of stock. But condos are an excellent option for somebody who doesn't want to upkeep a yard. They do want that 15-minute neighborhood. And this goes back to having a diversity of housing mm-hmm. options. And what you see in a lot of parts of the country, though, is the HOA fees that wind up getting attached to condominiums and townhouses can really make it hard for a workforce buyer, a first-time buyer, to get into a property because it throws their budget off. Mm-hmm. So we have to stay very vigilant on how those are structured. And that's something that's not often talked about is the HOA and what they're being regulated by on the state level.
And bringing up HOAs, that can be very expensive for people, right, Karen?
It can be. And again, it's who you hire as your management company, which as a board of directors of an HOA, which are the citizens that live in that community, you know, they have probably a fiduciary responsibility to hire a good management company to make sure that they're seeing out their desires, and there's costs related to that. And so you have HOAs that are very well managed and keep their budget in line and meet the needs of their community and their homeowners. And then you have others that are excessive. And again, those are the projects that don't get sold well. Those are the ones that people are like, well, if I have to deal with that, I don't want to live there. Mm-hmm. So again, it can still be a free market environment, and it's a good thing. But like Lee said, you have to be cognizant of the fact if those dues get too high, then the affordability becomes not existent. Mm-hmm. So it's that balance act. Okay. You know, we play it every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of housing affordability, Lee, what's the average price and what area do you work in?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, where our average home price hovers around the $400 mark. But we do still have options under $200. They've just gotten, as you know, they're fewer and further between now than they were even 15 months ago. So we're still a fairly affordable area of the country, and our property taxes are reasonable as well. So we are attractive to investors and to buyers and to companies. And I think that's one of the, when you look at the price of housing, a lot of our municipalities and our elected officials forget that what it costs to live in your own property can impact whether employers come to an area or not, because it's going to impact their future workforce and people in general in North America. They want to own something, right? And I think the last stat that came from Goldman Sachs was even amongst millennials, 93% of them want to own real estate one day. Well, we have to be thinking about the long-term implications. If they can't, how are they going to put down roots and become that vibrant member of the community? So we also have to remember there's a future casting piece here when we look at affordability, is what are things going to look like in the future? And one of my focus is to make sure that we're not assuming the government should be the solution for this. We cannot say that it's a regulatory legislative issue to fix affordability and fix inventory.
Well, and out here in Colorado, and hidden behind this affordable housing, there is a bunch of picking winners and losers, because and Karen and I were talking, I don't know if you were on the line, Lee, by that time, but that I think you said that it to bring a house out of the ground, that 40 to 45% yeah. of that, I mean, is, you know, rules, regulations, and all that, right?
Right. I think Lee and I has heard that statistic as well, as that nationwide, you know, it's somewhere between 30 and 45%. That is, you know.
And it's wild. That's just unnecessary regulatory burden. And it goes back to the fact that housing policy is not sexy, right? So when your neighbors are voting for city council, county commission, that's usually the last phrase that anybody pays attention to, because they're so focused on the top of the ticket, forgetting that it's those local elected officials that can adversely affect the cost of housing by their permitting practices, their zoning rules, all the different overlays that happen. So that's where realtors have an amazing role, because your local realtors actually interview those people and say, all right, so we have six candidates for county commission. Let's see where they are on property issues. And then they'll put out their favorite candidates. And I think that's one of the most impactful things we can do. We just need more realtors and neighbors to pay attention to that, because a lot of those fees that are driving the cost up could absolutely be taken back out if we, the citizens, would tell our elected officials, quit creating a bloated bureaucracy that's keeping people from owning real estate.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good idea. Lee, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. This is Kim Munson. We're talking with Lee Brown. She is a very successful realtor in
Charlotte,
North Carolina. And Karen Levine is in studio, and she is an award-winning realtor here in the Denver market. So stay tuned. We'll continue the conversation.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who support the work that we're doing. As we search for truth and clarity on these issues and look at these through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom, if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And we're seeing all kinds, there's a lot of different force words, but in the real estate arena right now, and affordability, rules and regulations, that's another code force word, Karen Levine. Yeah, force words for sure. But during the break, you said that you had a question for Lee.
Well, I was looking at our talking points, Lee, that came out of the 21 legislative meetings. And I'm just curious to get your feedback on some of the things that the realtor party is working on. What kind of, like you said, none of them are super sexy, but is there one that comes to the top that you'd like to bring to the attention of Kim's listeners? We've kind of talked on the show last month regarding 1031 exchange and the value that brings to the marketplace and to our property owners. But I was just curious if there's one you'd like to share with the listeners.
I will, first of all, just as a reminder to your listeners who maybe didn't hear your background on the Realtor Party, when realtors do political advocacy, we focus strictly in our lane, and it's one of the reasons that we're able to have the impact that we have on all three levels of government, is that we don't fight about external issues. If it's property rights related, we're going to go in with our viewpoint that impact real estate, period. So when we look at the top issues happening right now, of course, you mentioned the 1031. One of the challenges we are having with educating elected officials, there's a large freshman class in the House of almost 50 freshmen, and they are, I mean, they're just overwhelmed, and I don't even fault them. They're trying to learn everything. They're drinking from a fire hose. And when you've got the kind of spending going on that's happening in Washington, they're all looking for a way to offset that. Unfortunately, the 1031 exchange becomes a target because it looks like a honeypot of money, but it's a tax deferral program and it's not a tax loophole. It allows a buyer of a fourplex to take the gains from their duplex and move it over here so they can have more doors. And why do our neighbors do that? Well, that's their financial freedom in the future. We know we can't really count on Social Security because it's been just bankrupted. So savvy people create for themselves future cash flows. And 80% estimated of our people who utilize the 1031 are your mom and pop investors. So they are under 8 units and they are using the available IRS rules to benefit their neighborhood, frankly, because most of the mom and pop rental units are not super swanky, fancy places in downtown. It is going to hit that affordable place for workforce housing. So we want to protect that taxability. And we are cautiously optimistic that we have enough support in the Senate to keep the 1031. We do have challenges, of course, with the partisan nature of Washington, D.C. right now. But luckily, because these are not really sexy issues that are worth campaigning on, they do impact constituencies across the country. So we're cautiously optimistic there.
Okay, and Karen, just for people that didn't hear the previous show, explain what this 1031 exchange is.
Well, and Lida was doing a good job. Basically, a private property owner, myself, say, for instance, I chose to go buy a condominium as an investment property. I put a tenant in that investment property, and I see an opportunity to sell that in today's market at a profit, but I don't want the capital gains tax burden. So I can exchange it into a like-kind property. Like Lee said, maybe it was a duplex and somebody chose to then buy a fourplex. In my case, maybe I had one condo. Now I'm going to go buy, if there were condos, two condos with the proceeds of that sale. Mm-hmm. And I have a time limit to do that. You have to identify the property in a time line, and then you have to close on the purchase. In this shortage of inventory environment that we're working in nationwide, the 1031 has challenges because there's not product to buy. Mm-hmm. So I just had a client close this week who was not able to find an exchange or didn't feel the timing was right for them. So they're going ahead and paying that tax burden now, but they're thinking of selling another property that they think they can time-wise exchange into a property in a different part of the nation. That could generate them more financial freedom.
Okay.
What's also interesting is when you look on the commercial side of things, our commercial brokers here locally, one that I have a good relationship with, Doug Jennings, stated that 40% of his business involves a 1031. So it is a prevalent part of day-to-day real estate.
Well, and Lee, you mentioned something, and as you both have been talking, I came up with this term, or I probably heard it, but I think I came up with it, Lee, and that is the velocity of housing and in a robust economy where you have the free market, you're going to have young people buy condos. And of course, then many times older people might go into a condo, but you have the condos and they sell those and new people come in and they buy single family house. They may then buy a bigger house. But when we have all this public policy that is occurring, and if you sell your house, you might have to pay a bunch of or your property, a bunch of taxes. It seems like this public policy is really tapping down the velocity of people, of housing. And I think that that's just a really big problem here in America. And Karen continues to say that home ownership is one of the biggest wealth creators for everyday people. And so when we get this velocity of housing and it really slows down, I think that's just a big problem, Lee.
Well, it's an excellent point, and it goes to both the commercial side of real estate, which we all know have been disproportionately impacted by the COVID era with these economic shutdowns. Our folks that are in the commercial side need to be protected, not have their ability to buy and sell taken away. And then on the residential side, you're exactly right, because if the powers that be in Washington take away the tax ability to do a 1031 tax deferred exchange, all it's going to do is tell those investors, you know what, I'm just going to sit still. So it's going to put brakes on the market. But we already have a supply and demand issue. The last thing you need to do is further reduce your supply, which is what will happen. And part of what Karen just mentioned there with the client who decided to pay the capital gains, we're also seeing that crop up because of the risk of the capital gains rate almost doubling in most states, because that's another topic we're dealing with. So there are people that want to sell now so they can get in and out of the water before they're possibly losing all of the returns for them taking the risk over all these years.
Right.
So people get mad about an investor making money on a property. They should be reminded that that investor took the risk. They purchased something, they put tenants in it, they created housing, they created jobs. If the value of that property has gone up, of course they should be rewarded for that risk. And it doesn't mean the government should automatically get a piece of it, because the government didn't take that risk. That was the neighbor who did.
Exactly. One other thing, Lee, we've got about 4 minutes, and that is, as we are seeing on a national level, that Biden administration policies is they are trying to take over local zoning. And that's a big problem, in my view. What do you think?
That's a huge problem, because one of the reasons people live where they live is the way that municipalities and counties are designed. And they like where they live. If you bought a house in a neighborhood, I had this conversation at church last night. We were doing Bible school this week. I love how the stories just kind of write themselves. I'm at Bible school. I'm talking to another one of the moms. She's really frustrated because where she lives is a country setting, and the county came in and rezoned the whole thing. So now she's got a sea of houses going in across from her, and she said, we got notices that they were never going to listen to the five of us. And that's just your county, right? So you can almost get past it when it's your elected officials who make that decision, because they can justify the tax base and everything else. If it's the feds coming in to say, you rubes don't know what you're doing, which is essentially what this feels like, then it really does create a frustrating environment, because I don't want what Chicago has. If I wanted what Chicago has, I'd live there.
Right.
I live in North Carolina, so I can live how I want to live. And it just goes right back to freedom versus force. You're 100% right about this is a force issue. So should there be more conditional zoning where you could put a duplex on a corner lot? Absolutely. Should we have some creative solutions to create more supply? Absolutely. But should it be forced on people? No.
Okay. Your final thought, Lee. I really appreciate you joining us this morning.
My final thought is, anybody that's listening to this, you now know exactly which realtor you need to call in Denver. And if you're interviewing realtors, you should absolutely select somebody that gets this stuff, because too many of our colleagues just get focused on the next sign in a yard. And you don't have that luxury anymore. We all know that the actions we take today are going to have long-term ramifications or even short-term ramifications. When we look at the velocity of the changes coming out of D.C., it's on you, the local citizen, to get that under control, make better decisions locally and as a state, and then make sure that your people speaking your voice have your best interest at heart.
Well, Lee Brown, Charlotte, North Carolina, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for having me this morning, and thank you for carrying forth a strong message in the Denver market. I appreciate you.
Definitely. And again, it's very patriotic. And so your final thought on all this, Karen Levine?
Well, I just want to say, Lee, I love your perspective. I thank you so much for taking time this morning. I know you are a busy realtor as well, but your hard work is paying off, and we're just excited to have the conversation. And I think it's just important that Kim's listeners have the opportunity to hear these conversations so that they can be well educated and, again, make the good choice in their elected officials by knowing the information.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we do this show, is so that people can know what questions to ask.
Exactly.
For a long time, we didn't even know that. So if you're going to be moving out of Colorado to North Carolina, call Lee Brown. And if you're selling or buying a house here in the Denver metro area, be sure and call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. Again, that number is 303-877-7516. And Karen, thank you so much for being a partner of The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson.
It's my pleasure.
Okay. Our quote for today at the end of the show is James Madison, and he says this. He said, "I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments by those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations."
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Okay, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one.